Hey, he called me. He said, "We're snowed in." I said, "Great." You can't figure that out. TD will explain it to you after church. And but praise God, pure religion and undefiled is to love the fathers and the widows, keep your mouth shut. That's what the Bible says. But I'm glad to be here. And we left at about 2:30 this morning and flew on a big Delta jet and finally got to Atlanta, got my wife, and came on out. And after church, we'll be leaving to go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We'll be doing a marriage retreat up there. This makes our third year to do that, and divorce rate has spiked 75% ever since. But we've had a good time doing it. And I love Brother Snyder and his wife. They're just great people. And I love to be around Brother T.D. and Joy. They make old age look good. That's supposed to be a compliment, I think. But I do love them. And it's always good to be with these fine young men. They look so pretty tonight. And that blue and that other color. Man, if I had some hair, I'd be better looking than all of them. Long live the King. And I'm glad Jesus will never, ever go to the cross again. He'll never go to the tomb again. Because once and for all, it was perfected. I want you to turn tonight to Job chapter number 1. And I'll begin reading in a moment in verse number 7. Good to see our friends from Floyd Road. Now I'm on the hate list over there too. And we are glad they're here. And good to see some folks from Marietta. And don't you just love people from Cobb County? Say amen right there. And we're glad to have all of you. And I am very thankful for this. Most of my friends that do what I do, travel and preach, they don't hardly ever get to preach close to where they live. That just don't happen. But the Lord has favored us to be able to preach several times a year within driving distance of our home. And I really do like that. And I enjoy helping our local brethren. And man, we're on the same side. Preach the same book. Love the same Savior. And if God's people spend as much time worshiping the Lord than fighting one another, I believe we might have another revival. And I personally don't believe we're going to have one until we do that. We're going to have to get over some stuff. One guy said, "Well, you're not mean enough to be one of us." I said, "Thanks for the compliment." Some people criticizing you is like a recommendation. Can I get a witness right there? And brother, we're brothers, we're sisters in the Lord. I enjoyed hearing that brother pray. That prayer blessed my heart. And I like to hear people pray and shout. I really like to watch them put in offering plates. Say amen right there. And the Lord is good. They said the other day a lady was coming down I-20 and got pulled over. Said the trooper, said, "Let me see your license." Said, "Before I show you my license, I need to tell you something, sir. I got a 45 under my seat. And I got a 38 in this glove compartment. And I got a 25 automatic in this door. I got a 12-gauge shotgun in the back and an AR-15 and a 30-round clip in the trunk." He said, "My soul, honey, what are you afraid of?" She said, "Not a cotton-picking thing, amen." Oh, I'll keep my Bible and keep my gun and you keep the change. Can I get a witness of it? The book of Job tonight, chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Job chapter 1 and verse number 7. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And how many would agree with me tonight that Satan was probably up to no good at all, walking up down in the earth, trying to fling misery and despair on one of God's youngins? By the way, he's still at it. Last time I read my Bible, it said that the devil is like a roaring lion, wounded and bloodthirsty, walking about, seeking whom he may bless, no, seeking whom he may devour. And if Satan had his way about it, he would devour every family, every home, every life, every ministry, every individual that's in this room tonight. And he's walking up and down, to and fro in the earth. And verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Let me put that in Georgia language. There must be some kind of ulterior motive, the reason why Job serves you. He must be getting something out of it. There must be some kind of deal under the table. He serves you because of all of that stuff you've given. I'm glad the devil is a liar and the father of all liars. You know what Satan didn't understand? There are some people on this earth love God for who He is more than for what God has done. And I ain't knocking what He done. I'm glad for what God has done. But if He never does another thing, He's still God. And long live the King. I got to preach on that. That's good. Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and all of the hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. He said, God, he loves you and serves you because of all the stuff. And if you take that stuff, Job will turn his back on you, and he'll curse you to your face. I'm glad that's not the end of the verse. Page 2. The Lord proves to Job and the world and Satan and you and I tonight that the devil is a liar and the father of all liars. Notice what happens now in verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, all upon himself, but not forth thine hand. Read this last phrase out loud with me. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You say, where did he go? He went down to Job's house to try to fling misery and despair on one of God's children. But I want to preach tonight from this story on what the devil found when he went down to Job's house. And by the way, let me say, he'll make a trip down to your place and mine. Because he is not our friend, he is our foe. He is not our advocate, he is our adversary. He is not on our side, he is against us. All of us tonight may like different kinds of houses and cars and food and clothes. But if you're saved tonight, there is one thing that everybody in this room has in common. We have a common foe. Satan hates you. He hates me. And you see, he knows that God's got a hedge about Job. And by the way, he knows God's got one about you too. You say, what does that mean? The devil knows he can't do nothing about my salvation. He knows he can't jerk Jesus and the blood and the Holy Ghost out of my heart. The devil cannot keep me from walking through the pearly gates and shouting down Glory Hallelujah Boulevard. But I'll tell you what He will do. He'll do everything He can to make my trip to glory as miserable as He can. When you come to this text tonight, Job would not be the centerpiece of a success story. In fact, the life of Job flies in the face of modern prosperity gospel. They say if you're saved and right with God, you won't ever have any problems. I don't think Job would want to hear that. If you're saved and in the will of God, you won't ever get sick. I don't believe Job wants to hear that. If you're right with God, you'll always be on the mountain. I don't believe Job wants to hear that. Because when we come to our text tonight, Job enters into one of the darkest places that any human being has ever trod. He didn't have just a hard knock. He didn't have just some bad luck. In one 24-hour period, this man loses everything that he's ever had in his life. In one 24-hour period, a man who has everything is reduced to nothing. In this text tonight, you'll find that disaster took Job's fortune. The devil tempted Job's faith. Death touched Job's family. Disease tortured Job's flesh. And deceit turned Job's friends. Yet, but the Bible said, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He suffered every kind of pain and stress and loss that a man could face. But did Job curse God? Absolutely not. Did Job die in the midst of this trial? Absolutely not. Did Job come out worse for wear? Absolutely not. For the last chapter says he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. Now you put that in your apple. You put that in your computer. You put that in your iPad, your smartphone, all them other things we don't know how to turn on. And you put all of that, you Google that. That a man can lose and lose and get and get. Google in a man takes 12 steps back and 9,000 steps forward. Because the world says you got to go up to keep going up. But God said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up. And I'm about to get blessed on my own preaching. The devil went down to Job's house to try to fling misery and despair. Oh, but what did he find? And I hope what he found at Job's place, he finds at your place and my place when he comes snooping around. Look, number one, if you will, in chapter number 1 and verse number 20. When the devil went down to Job's house, he found a man that would worship God's person. He found a man that would worship God's person. You come to verse number 20, Job is on the ground. He's been put down, cut down, slapped down, cursed down, and knocked down. Job is flat on his face. And the devil's got a grin about that wife. He just knows right here is where he severs that relationship with God. I don't believe the birds are singing. I don't believe the leaves are moving. I believe angels in heaven and demons in hell and agnostics on the earth, all eyes and ears are upon Job. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? And old Satan just knows right here is where Job ends it with God. But look what he says in verse number 20. Then Job arose. If that was the only phrase in that verse, it'd be enough to shout glory about. He arose. Job arose. He did not stay flat on his face. He did not stay in that pile of ashes. He got up again. And you say, the devil has run my nose in failure. Wait upon God and you'll get back up again. For the Bible said Job arose and rent his mantle, fell back down upon the ground, and griped and grumbled and whined and bellyached and complained. No, I must be reading out one of them funny Bibles. Let me read that again. Then Job arose and fell down upon the ground, said with me, and worshiped. And worshiped. You know what the word worship means? It comes from two words, worship. And when somebody's worshiping God, they're telling the Lord how much He's worth. And I'll admit, I'm not worth much. And most of my buddies are not worth much. But when it comes to the Lord, He is worthy. Let me ask you this tonight. What is the worth or the value of God in your life? Let me ask it like this. Where would you be were not for God in your life? What would you have were not for God in your life? Where would you spend eternity were not for God in your life? Job's family is dead. His wife is mad. His bank account is in the red. He hurts all over his body. But he realizes that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it tastes like, no matter what it sounds like, God is still great. God is still good. God is still worthy. And He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our love. He is worthy of our hallelujah. He's worth a lot in our life. Job worshiped God. I heard a preacher say the other day, we need to pray for God to create a worshipful atmosphere. If you only worship God when the atmosphere is right, you won't do a whole lot of worshiping. I promise you, the atmosphere of Job 1 is not a pleasant atmosphere. It reeks, it stinks with doom, gloom, depression, fear, and loss. We don't pray for God to create an atmosphere that we may worship Him. Worship creates the atmosphere to God to invade what we're doing. For we don't pray, God, fix the atmosphere and I'll worship You. No, you worship God by faith, and that kind of worship fixes the atmosphere. For the Bible said that God inhabits the praises of His people. The Bible didn't tell us to praise Him when we feel like it. The Bible didn't tell us to praise Him when things are going good. The Bible didn't tell us to praise Him when the atmosphere is right. It's just praising because He's great. Praising because He's God. I'm glad for what He's done. But we worship God. We extol God. We praise God for who He is. Who is He? He's God. And besides Him, there is none else. He found a man that would worship God's person. Job said, God, I don't understand it and I can't change it. But it doesn't change who You are, and You're worth everything to me. How long's it been since You cleaned You off a piece of real estate and just started telling God how much He's worth? And you say, well, I don't feel like it. You do it two or three times and you'll get the feeling like it. Job is in the belly of that whale. He confesses. He pays his vows. He repents. He humbles himself. He even says, God, I'm sorry. But he still shrouds in the belly of the whale. And Job said, I'll try one more thing. Jonah tried one more thing. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And Jonah got to praising God in the belly of that whale. That whale couldn't take it, and he spit him up on dry ground. It was praise. It was worship. It was thanksgiving that got Jonah out of the belly of the whale. What was it that broke the prison bars? What was it that shook the earthquake in that Philippian jail at midnight? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Jesus said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. If you've been saved and born again, emancipated from the chains of sin, your past erased, your future settled, joy in your soul, name written in heaven. You've got a reason to praise Him. You've got a reason to worship Him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He worships God's person. And his worship in verse 20 broke forth to his praise in verse 21. You can't separate praise from worship. Because if you praise God long enough, you'll find yourself worshiping. And if you worship just a little, you're going to shout whether you believe in it or not. Job said, here's my praise. Now the devil's told God he's going to swear. He's going to curse. He's going to sever the relationship. He's going to blaspheme you so bad, God, you're going to have to kill that old boy. In fact, that's what his wife said. To end your misery, just get it over and curse God and die. But Job doesn't blaspheme. Job doesn't swear. Job doesn't curse. He said, here's what I got to say. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed! 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 I like that. Blessed! You say, what does that mean? In Hebrew, that means hallelujah anyhow. In Greek, that means, whoo, in spite of the circumstance. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job can't figure it out. Job can't change it. Job can't stop it. But his geographical location does not diminish God's divine ability. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's eternal. He's omnipotent. He's faithful. He's great. He's good. He's good. He's great. He's great. He's God. He's God. And He is worthy of our praise. Why would you curse the very God that saved your soul from the devil's hell and gave you something worth living for? He found a man that would worship God's person. You better be careful what you say when things go crazy. Because if you ain't careful, you'll get crazy. You'll say crazy things about God and crazy things to God. And God's been too good for any of us to badmouth God. Every one of us tonight, double me and triple me, ought to be in hell right now, this very moment. I don't deserve the breath I breathe, the clothes I wear, the water I drink, the food I eat. I am not worthy of anything God's ever did for me. But when I claim the blood for my salvation, He made me worthy in Jesus Christ. God's been too good to us to curse Him and blaspheme Him and charge Him foolishly. God's done right by us. God's done good by us. In fact, He's too holy to do anything else. He's too holy to do wrong. He's too just to go astray. He loves us. He cares about us. He's worthy of our going to church. He's worthy of our reading the Bible. He's worthy of our singing. He is worthy of our testimony. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's time to worship Him. He deserves that. And nothing less than that. He found a man that would worship God's person. Come, if you will, to chapter number 23. He found a man, number two, and I love this, that would walk in God's path. And listen to what I'm going to say. Every one of us have weak places in our lives. Let me say it like this. There's something wrong with all of us. Now, we go to church and we look our best and we wear our best, and I think we ought to. But under all this Sean John and Donald Trump and all them other guys, we're a bag of dirt. A piece of dirt. Even God remembered that we were but flesh. And there's something wrong with all of us. And the devil knows your weakness, and he knows mine. You say, I don't have a weakness. Yours is lying. And mine is gossiping. And I'm going to tell this whole crowd, liar, 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 your pants is on fire. Some of the devil knows how to get to you. And you know what most people's convictions are? Things they don't like. You'd be surprised if the people that have convictions like I do against playing golf. Golf is wicked. It's abominable. It stinks in the nostrils of God. You know why I've got a conviction against it? Because I can't play it. Somebody asked me, Brother Doug, was playing golf a sin? I said, you play the way I play, it's an abomination in the sight of God. Somebody said, why'd you quit playing golf? It was hard on my religion, amen. But now, deer hunting, I ain't been convicted about that at all. And I believe fishing's in the Bible. He said, you make you fishers of men. My wife has no conviction at all about shopping. She thinks God is in everything. My secretary, Miss Wanda, she says if she's riding down by Krispy Kreme and the light's not flashing, it's okay. But when that red sign comes on, hot now, it's the sovereign will of God predestinated from the foundation of the world. My weakness may not be your weakness. Some people struggle with alcohol. Some people struggle with sex. Some people struggle with beer. Some people struggle with cigarettes. I'll get on one of yours in a minute, son. You just sat there long enough. I got a list a mile long. I'll hit it in a minute. Yours is long hair. But all of us has got a problem. And son, the devil knows just where to set up a beachhead in your life and in mine. But listen to this, it's a change your life if you'll get it. No matter what avenue Satan pursues to get to you or me, his ultimate goal is the same. Whatever he tempts you with, whatever he tempts you with, whatever he aggravates me with, his ultimate goal is the same. The result he wants from all of us is the same. And you know what that is? Turn your back on God. Bad mouth God. Quit on God. Get silly on God. Lay your Bible down. Quit going to church. Quit praising the Lord. And live in the rest of your life and die in bitterness. No matter what avenue he walks up to get to you and I, his ultimate goal is the same. curse God, deny God, turn your back on God. But I want you to come to Job chapter number 23 and look, if you will, in verse number 8. Buddy, Job's had everything thrown at him that Satan can hurl. Notice even in verse number 8, verse number 9, Job is distraught. Behold, I go forward, he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where it doth work, but I cannot behold him. On the right hand, I cannot see him. But look down in verse number 11. Here is what the devil found when he went to Job's house. He not only found a man that would worship God's person, but he found a man that would walk in God's path. Notice what he said in verse number 11. My foot have held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You say, what is Job saying? This is what he's saying. Look up in here. See my feet? You know where they are? Same place they was before all of this ever happened. See the path that I'm walking? Same path I was walking before any of this happened. You want to see where I'm going? Same place I was going before all of this happened. You want to see whose hand I'm holding? The same one I was holding before all this happened. You want to see whose name I'm appraising? The same one I was appraising before this ever happened. I'm about to have a spell right there. I mean, they've knocked him down. They've put him down. They've cut him down. They've talked him down. But Job said, I'm still walking in his path. I've not declined. I've not gone back. The devil's not knocked me off course. He was sent in our day like this. I'm still reading the Bible. I'm still going to church. I'm still serving God. I'm still paying my tithes. I'm still being a witness. I'm still doing what I ought to do, because it's always right to do what we're supposed to do. You say, what's the big deal? Well, I pastored the same church for almost 30 years, and a whole bunch of people I pastored through the years, verse 11 would not be their testimony, because they have gone back, way back, so far back they're living like Simon Peter said a man could live, forgot that he was purged from his old man. And I'm telling you, brother, people saw out there right now, man saved, he ain't going to get too close. I want to tell you something. You'll be surprised how far away a man can get when bitterness gets in his life. When he allows Satan to get his eyes off of Jesus. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to quit going to church. He wants you to quit reading your Bible. But listen to the preacher tonight. When the storm comes, when the trouble comes, that's not when you stop going to church. That's when you double up on it. Let me say it like this. Don't quit what you need the most when you need it the most. This lady said to me one time, she said, I'm going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks. I started to say, well, that ain't going to be nothing new for you. She said, we ain't going to be here for a while. She said, we got some problems we need to get worked out, and we'll be back when we get our problems worked out. I'm telling you, sitting at home while you're having church and sulking in your defeat, getting mad at the preacher, taking out on the church, that's not going to help you. That's not going to help your children. It'll turn misery into more misery. Brother, walk on with God. Keep your feet in His path. Keep on doing what you're supposed to do, because it's always right to do right, and it's never right to do wrong. Well, I just ain't going to go up there to church and take all my stuff up there and mess up all them good people. Well, I don't know about Calvary, but don't no good people go to Harvest? Don't anybody but messed up people come to my church. All the good people go to Brother McCoy's. All the good people go to Grace. All the good people go to Floyd Road. All the widows and weirdos come to Calvary and harvest. You say, but preacher, I just don't want to bring all my stuff up. Listen, I got stuff, you got stuff, all of God's children got stuff. And let's make this deal right here. I'll get my stuff, and you'll get your stuff, and we'll bring our stuff, and we'll get some of God's stuff, and God's stuff is better than our stuff, and we'll leave some of God's stuff, and we'll just leave our stuff, and we'll keep some God's stuff, because God will give you some stuff that can overcome your stuff, and you're not going to get it sitting at home and wallowing in bitterness. Don't you quit going to church. Don't you quit your Bible. Don't quit praying. That's when you need God the most. Walk on. Walk on. Walk on. And don't get knocked off course. Job said, my feet have held his steps. I have not gone back. I have not declined. I'm still listening to the commandment of his lips. And Job said, there's one thing I've learned through this ordeal. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, I'm finding out I need God today more than I needed God yesterday. He said, but I'm finding this out. He's there when I need him the most. If I'll just keep walking with God and stay with God and go back out on God, brother, there's an end to this. Praise God, there's a light to this. One of these days this thing is going to be over. But the problem is, you got to keep walking. You got to keep worshiping. Don't give up too soon. Press on. Press on. Stay with God. Don't let the devil knock you off course. Because quitting God is not going to solve anything for you and your family. Brother, won't you do me a favor? We're not live streaming over the internet, are we? That's dangerous. Can we pause everything just a minute? We can't? All right, I'm not going to give that illustration then, because I am not going to betray a trust. And if this was to get out, it would betray somebody's trust. Even though I'm not going to use their name, they would hear the illustration, they would know who I'm talking about, and they would be very disappointed in Brother Joe. And I will not do that under any circumstances. But I will tell you this, without the illustration, I wish I could tell you, it jerked your heart out like it does mine. But I'm just here to tell you, there's a lot of people digging a bigger hole, and they'll never get out of it by quitting God and quitting the Bible and quitting church. Because that's not, so they're already calling right now, want to know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, the easiest thing in the world to do is say, okay, I just quit then. There's been a many man left his church one day short of God's perfect will because he got discouraged. There's been a many singing group hung her up one day too soon because they got discouraged. One soul winner quit his bus route and quit his gospel tracts and quit singing in the choir and quit the Sunday school class one day too soon because they got discouraged. I can see Ruth. She's in that field and the sun is hot and she's thirsty and she feels like she can't pick another row. And I want to say, sweetie, over a couple of rows is a whopping handful on purpose. And if you just make it till you get to that row, a handful of purpose, all the sweat, all the toil, all the heat, I just want to say to somebody tonight, don't quit preaching, don't quit singing, don't quit teaching your class, don't quit singing in the choir, don't quit calling on the Lord, don't quit reading your Bible, don't quit going to church, one row short of your double whopping helping of handfuls of purpose, plotted efforts of grace. I want to tell you, the master of the field, your kinsman redeemer, he knows where you're rowing. He knows where you're going.
He knows where you're plotting. He knows what they're saying. He knows how the devil has set you up. But just around the bend, He's got a handful of glory and a gob of grace, bread from the oven, water from the cruise. God's not forgot about you. God's not forsaken you. God's not abandoned you. Standing somewhere in the shadows is a sovereign God who knows your need before you ask Him. I'm that God. He knows what He's doing in your life and in mine. Don't quit. Walk on in Jesus' name. Number three, I'm done. Look in verse number 10 of chapter number 23. He found a man that would worship God's person. He found a man that would walk in God's path. But look in verse number 10. He found a man that would wait on God's purpose. He found a man that would wait on God's purpose. And can I just say this tonight? God does not work by accident or afterthought. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. Not some things, not two things, not one thing, but all things. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. But God knows what He's doing. Look what He said in the text in verse number 10. Back in verse 8, he's looking for God. In verse 9, he's looking for God. And he doesn't know where God is. But he says in verse number 10, but He knoweth. But He knoweth. But He knoweth. Aren't you glad God is aware where we are? But He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, God's got a purpose. God's doing something in my life. And I can't find Him, and I don't know much about that. But there's one thing that I know. He knows me. That little word knoweth means to be at verse, to be acquainted, to be in touch, to have your eyes on somebody. It's the same root word as surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. God's not lost you in a crowd. He knoweth. He has His eyes. He's acquainted with the way that I take. It may be a bad way. It may be a hard way. It may be a difficult way. It may be a confusing way. But He knoweth the way that I take. And when He didn't blame it on His wife. He didn't blame it on the devil. He said, God is in control of my life. I shall come forth, not as coal, but gold. And you know why gold is more expensive than the rocks in your driveway? Because you can find the rock any old place, but if you get some gold, you got to dig around in the dark places where fire and pressure has made something bad. Any of you men here ever had the blessing of being handed a honey-do list? Let me tell you what that honey-do list says. Honey, you better do it. Because, honey, if you don't do it, I ain't going to be your honey. And let me tell all you men up front now, if that honey-do list includes pain, curtains, blinds, or wallpaper, get you two extra jobs, pay somebody else to do it, and save your home. That sign out there, uncontested divorce for $4.95, was bought and paid for with curtains, blinds, and painting, and wallpaper. We're expecting our first child, and my wife wants us to save some money, and so we're fixing the nursery. Just let me tell you this. I am not an artistic person. I draw flies and idiots. Well, you come to hear me, buddy. That's all I got to say. But have you ever had your wife to send you to the paint store? Now, I don't know how your wife does, but when I go, let me tell you something. She tells me the color, the manufacturer, and even a little card with the color on it. And says, come back with this. And brother, you better come back with that. So you go down to the paint store and I walk in. And immediately, Brother Doug, immediately, I'm nervous. Because that man behind that counter don't look like he knows no more about it than I do. Number one, he's got an apron on, and it looks like every color in the store has been smeared on his apron. And I say to him, I say, I need this. And he says, got it. Mistake number one, he walks over and gets a bucket of white paint. And I said, wait a minute, she does not want white, she wants this. And he says, I got it. Mistake number two. He goes over to this counter where there's a bunch of cans and he starts squirting other wrong colors in the bucket. Green. Yellow. Purple. Black. Red. And I say, wait a minute. She don't want psychedelic or camouflage. She wants this. And he says, I got it. And I'm going, yeah, you got it, but I'm the one that's going to get it. Mistake number three. Wrong color. Squirts more wrong colors. And then he walks over to this machine, looks like a washing machine to me, opens the door, clamps the bucket down, turns a button, and shakes the bucket. He shakes that bucket so hard, the whole floor, and I'm going, he's going to shake all the pigment out of the paint. It's going to be like water now. Sir, are you trying to end my marriage? Honestly, I believe her and her mother is in on this the whole time. Well, he finally gets through shaking my paint. He walks over and gets it out of the machine, slaps the lid on it, and says, here you go. And I say, I ain't leaving you till you open that lid. I want to see what you got in there. Brother, I don't want no surprises. He pops that lid off that bucket. This is the truth with my hand up. You ain't never going to believe what's in that bucket. What's on that card. And he can tell I don't believe him. So you know what the man does? He takes my card, sticks it down in the bucket. Pulls it out, dripping wet, and takes a hairdryer and blows it. And sticks it in my face and says, see? And I go, I got it. You say, Brother Arthur, what do you do then? What any self-respecting husband would do. I put that bucket under my arm. I walk in that house and I say, hey, baby, Big Daddy done it again. I have fulfilled your every desire. I am the paint man. Come over here, baby, and kiss me. Big Daddy done it again. And brother, side of the truth is I can brag on it all I want and short off all I want, but I didn't have anything to do with that. All I did was trust the master mixer. I'm yelling at him, you're doing it wrong. He's not even listening, going, I got it. That ain't his first bucket. That's not his first master plan. That's not his first hunting must-do list. I just had to trust the master mixer. And boy, how many times in my life I said, God, wrong color, Oh, God, please. You're starting this thing out wrong. God, you're going to take me here. You got to do it. And he ain't listening. He's just going, I got it. And then he put some other stuff in my bucket. Some sickness and some problems and some fear and some worry. And I'm saying, oh, God, I don't need that in my bucket. And he takes me to that machine. And I'm going, no, please don't do that. I'm nervous enough. And boy, he shakes me. Oh, but one day, praise God, the shaking's going to be over. And the master mixer's going to pop off my lid. And guess what's going to be in there? I'll be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Because all I had to do was trust the master mixer. Woo! Hallelujah. I didn't have anything to do with it. Just trust the master mixer. Glory. God is a stirring in your life and in mine. Taking this, and harmonizing everything together. That it might strike one sounding chord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Long live the King. I just believe when we get the glory and see the other line and the other side, I believe we'll say with the writer, Jesus, you do it. All things well. Let me just say this in closing tonight. What you can't change and what you can't fix, but you trust the master mixer. He's not made a mistake in anybody else's life and he ain't going to start with yours. You can trust him. He's trustworthy. Let's stand together tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time we can come together and worship the Lord. And God, be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, as I travel across this nation, I'm very much reminded God's people are carrying heavy loads. There's people in this room tonight, Lord, don't know how they're going to make it another day. The devil's been at their house all day long trying to fling misery and despair. But boy, may they find enough strength to worship, walk, and wait because you doeth all things well. And Lord, what we can't fix, what we can't change, help us to trust you with it tonight. You're good, you're great, you're God, you're holy, you're wonderful. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Brother Snyder, come. Take the service, do an invitation, ever how you see fit, my brother.
Why don't you obey the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're confused about some of the things God's put in your bucket. Why don't you come down here and deal with it tonight, would you? Come on, let Him have His way while they sing. Come on. Come on.
In my way, when it's